The First Extermination Claims in New York. The thesis of this book is that the story of Jewish extermination in World War II is a propaganda hoax. Obviously, therefore, we must examine the origins of the hoax in wartime propaganda. We have already discussed many of the inside aspects, and the public aspects remain to be examined. The enormity of the task, plus the controversial nature of the subject, seem to have discouraged a thorough study of the propaganda. There have been studies of special aspects. John T. Flynn, in While You Slept, surveyed the propaganda in respect to communist and pro-communist influences, especially in regard to Asia. James J. Martin made a study of the manner in which the American media treated the Soviet Union, the negotiated peace question, and the Allied terror bombings during the war. It is out of the question to survey all of the atrocity and extermination propaganda pertaining to the European theater in World War II. Here we may economize on the magnitude of the survey to be undertaken, by noting that we are interested only in the Jewish extermination question, and only in what important people were doing. We will therefore find that examination of stories concerning alleged Jewish extermination which appeared in the New York Times, spring 1942 through 1943, together with a summary of 1944 propaganda, which will be presented in Chapter 5, is all that is required to get a satisfactory conception of the propaganda. Therefore, we start here with spring 1942 stories. Concurrent commentary will be made. In many cases there is a story involved, allegedly originating in Europe, claiming mass killings, and the matters of particular interest in such cases are the source of the story, the location of the alleged killings, and the method of killing allegedly employed. It should also be kept in mind that the post-war extermination legend claims only three varieties of mass exterminations: gassing at six sites in Poland, quote-unquote gas mobiles in Russia, and mass shootings in Russia. April 6, 1942, page 2, quote, reports Nazi slaughter of Jews. Kuibyshev, Russia, April 5, AP, the Anti-Fascist Jewish Committee reported today that the Germans have killed 86,000 Jews in and around Minsk, 25,000 at Odessa and tens of thousands in Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. In Estonia, the report said, the entire Jewish population numbering 4,500 was wiped out, unquote. June 13, 1942, quote, Nazis blame Jews for big bombings. Berlin, June 12, from German broadcast recorded by the United Press in New York, Propaganda Minister Joseph Goebbels said tonight that Germany would carry out a mass extermination of Jews in reprisal for the Allied air bombings of German cities which, he acknowledged, have caused heavy damage. Dr. Goebbels, in an article in the publication The Reich, said the Jews would be exterminated throughout Europe and perhaps even beyond Europe, in retaliation against the heavy air assaults, unquote. Goebbels' remark was directed against the Jewish-controlled press, which he regarded as largely responsible for the propaganda atmosphere which made the terror bombings possible. His remark in Das Reich was, quote, in this war, the Jews are playing their most criminal game, and they will have to pay for that with the extermination, Ausrottung, of their race in Europe and perhaps far beyond. They are not to be taken seriously in this conflict, because they represent neither British nor American, but exclusively Jewish interests, unquote. Now this is indeed an extermination threat, because the primary meaning of the term Ausrottung is extermination, the English uprooting, to which the word is related etymologically, is only a secondary meaning. Similar totally public utterances were also made occasionally by Hitler. Examples are, quote, the result of this war will be the destruction of Jewry, and, it will not be the Aryan peoples that will be annihilated but it will be Jewry, unquote. In reaction to this, one should observe that, a, extreme statements were a pervasive feature of Nazi oratory and rhetoric, b, the extermination mythologists find it necessary to claim that the exterminations were carried out in the most extreme secrecy, which makes it somewhat untenable to take such occasional references in the public declarations of Nazi leaders as evidence of exterminations. C. It is necessary to fully grasp the specific circumstances of the Goebbels remark, meaning it was a reaction to Allied terror bombings. D. People can say heated things in wartime, and bloodthirsty statements were made by supposedly responsible people on both sides during the war, and E. It is often the case that a complete understanding of context is necessary when interpreting the specific meaning of a reference to extermination or annihilation, or, in German, Ausrottung, Vernichtung, respectively. Moreover, the German word for Jewry, das Judentum, is ambiguous in meaning. Let each of these 5 points be examined in order. A. It is well known that Nazi oratory and rhetoric tended to have a provocatively inflammatory character, whose origins go well back into the days when the Nazis were a minor party in Weimar Germany. It appears that this was a result of a deliberate and studied policy, for in 1931, Hitler explained the reasons for it in a private interview, quote, What some madman of an editor writes in my own press is of no interest to me. We can achieve something only by fanaticism. If this fanaticism horrifies the bourgeoisie, so much the better. Solely by this fanaticism, which refuses any compromise, do we gain our contact with the masses?" Unquote. Put more simply, he often found that he could get attention by making wild statements. Naturally, all of the Nazi leaders, especially Goebbels, were infected with this attitude to some degree. It is true that, after the Nazis came to power and assumed responsibility for ruling Germany, their public declarations became much more moderated in tone, but the tendency never entirely departed from them, and of course the war and the problem of attempting to reach public opinion in the Allied countries revived the feature somewhat. Under the circumstances, it is actually remarkable that Hitler and Goebbels only rarely made such declarations. B. We shall see in following chapters that the extermination mythologists are forced to take the position that the Nazis went to extremes to preserve the secrecy of their killing program of continental scope, and did in fact preserve this secrecy to a most remarkable extent. What is known of the behavior of European Jews during those days, for example, despite the claims of some individual authors and the indubitable fact that there were all sorts of rumors current, shows that the Jews were not conscious of any extermination program. When they were told to pack up for transport, they did just that, and went without resistance. On page 153 of the print and ebook editions of this book, we shall note Theresienstadt Jews volunteering for transport to Auschwitz as late as August 1944, for the Jews at Theresienstadt knew nothing of any extermination program at Auschwitz or anywhere else. On page 280, we shall note that the Nazis were allegedly even unwilling to commit anything to confidential documents for, we are told, the drafting of circumspect minutes was one of the major arts of Hitler's Reich. Because this is the case put forward by the extermination mythologists, then it is not merely that occurrences of the sort of remarks under consideration do not support their case, the problem becomes that of explaining such occurrences. C. The Goebbels remark should be seen for what it was, a professional propagandist reaction to the Allied bombings, which obsessed German policy in various ways from May 1940 on. Because the facts in this connection, although well established, are not well known, they are very briefly summarized here, but in order to avoid an inexcusably long digression, the summary is indeed brief. The reader interested in more thorough treatment is referred to Veal and to Kolbe. At the outbreak of war in 1939, German air doctrine viewed the bomber as a form of artillery, and thus a weapon to be used in support of ordinary ground operations. It was in this connection that the well-publicized bombings of Warsaw in 1939 and Rotterdam in May 1940 took place, only after these cities had actually become the scenes of military operations, and the laws of siege applied. Strategic bombing, as we understand the term, played no role in German combat operations, although of course it had been and was under study by German military planners. This was not the case in Britain, however, for at the time that the Germans were using their bombers as artillery in the Netherlands, the British made the quote-unquote splendid decision to bomb German civilian targets, knowing perfectly well that Hitler had no intention or wish to engage in warfare of this sort. Hitler, indeed, did not want war with Britain at all. There was a moderate amount of German bombing of targets in England during the early summer of 1940, but only specifically military targets were attacked, even while such cities as Hamburg and Bremen were undergoing general attack. It was only after 3 months of this, and with the greatest reluctance, that Hitler felt himself forced to reply in kind, and in this way the well-publicized Blitz hoax was established. The British people were not permitted to find out that their government could have stopped the German raids at any time, merely by stopping the raids on Germany. The British raids on Germany, while of no military significance in 1940, had put the German government on the spot in German popular opinion, because the German people naturally thought that their government should be able to do something about them. The only reason the Germans adopted retaliatory bombing was as a last resort. In announcing the policy, Hitler declared in a Spoetpalast speech of September 4, 1940, quote, "If the British Air Force drops 2 or 3 or 4,000 kilograms of bombs, we will drop 150, 180, 200,000, 300,000, 400,000 kilograms and more in a single night," unquote. This was a gross exaggeration of his capabilities relative to the British, for his bombers were designed for support of troops and not for the strategic bombing, for which the British bombers were equipped, although at the time Germany's bombers were numerically superior to the British. Nevertheless, violent words are cheap, and after the Luftwaffe, which was never more than a nuisance for the Allied bombing operations, violent words, sometimes coupled with promises of secret new weapons, were about all Hitler and Goebbels were able to come up with in 1940 or at any subsequent time to oppose the bombings. It is in this context that the Goebbels remark should be grasped. D. There were bloodthirsty remarks made on both sides during the war. In the US, there were many examples of wild views, earnestly put forward by apparently civilized persons, which were received with apparently thoughtful reactions of approval by equally respected persons. Because there were so many such people, it will suffice to remark only on Clifton Fadiman, the well-known author and critic who, at the time, was the book review editor of the New Yorker Weekly magazine. Fadiman was the principal luminary of the Writers' War Board, a semi-official government agency that did volunteer writing for government agencies in connection with the war. The board was chaired by Rex Stout. The thesis that Fadiman and Stout carried to the writers' community in 1942 was that writings on the war should seek, quote, to generate an active hate against all Germans and not merely against Nazi leaders, unquote. This generated some heated controversy, and writers and observers took sides in what became a debate hot enough for Fadiman to declare that he knew of, quote, only one way to make a German understand, and that's to kill them, and even then I think they don't understand, unquote. These were not isolated outbursts, for Fadiman welcomed the opportunity to set down his views on Germans in a more organized context through his column in The New Yorker. In April 1942, he had found the juvenile concept he needed, in a book by DeSales, The Making of Tomorrow. Taking for granted the reader's concurrence that the Nazis were at least the worst scourge to come along in centuries, he wrote that DeSales's, quote, argument is simply that the present Nazi onslaught is not in the least the evil handiwork of a group of gangsters, but rather the final and perfect expression of the most profound instincts of the German people. Hitler is the incarnation of forces greater than himself. The heresy he preaches is 2,000 years old. What is the heresy? It is nothing more or less than a rebellion against Western civilization. Mr. DeSales traces five such German rebellions, beginning with Arminius. At first you are inclined to be skeptical of the author's grand indictment. His anti-Germanism may conceivably stem from his French ancestry, but as you follow his argument, it becomes more and more cogent, and the true proportions of this war emerge with great clarity, unquote. His reviews of books on the war express the historical concept that he had found in DeSales's nonsense. Scoffing at Howard K. Smith's claim that, quote, if we can offer the Germans a real alternative to extermination, the nation, though it may not succumb to actual revolution, will fall into our hands, unquote, Fadiman wrote, quote, the world has been appeasing the Germans ever since their human wolf packs broke out of their forest lairs in the time of Arminius. The result is a Europe on the verge of suicide, unquote. This was followed by his obvious approval of, quote, Hemingway's extraordinary suggestion that the only ultimate settlement with the Nazis is to sterilize them. He means just that, in a surgical sense, unquote. Of course, Fadiman also saw no distinction between Nazis and other Germans, and ridiculed Dorothy Thompson's quote-unquote passionate argument for such a distinction, as well as her conviction, quote, that our post-war efforts must be directed toward the construction of a European Federation of States, with Germany, under democratic leadership, occupying a leading position, unquote. Although Fadiman never advocated the killing of all or most Germans, at least not in so many words, this was the clear sense of his declarations. After all, what else can be done with, quote, wolf packs who broke out of their forest lairs, unquote, who are now trying to enslave the rest of the world, and who quote-unquote understand only if you quote-unquote kill them, and must not be given, quote, a real alternative to extermination, unquote. Clifton Fadiman was only a very prominent and semi-official example of a school of thought that existed among leaders of opinion in the U.S. during the war. James J. Martin and Benjamin Colby have published longer studies of Allied propaganda based on hatred of all Germans, the latter presenting a particularly thorough study of the Writers' War Board. The climate of wartime opinion in Britain, of course, was about the same and, on account of England's earlier entry into the war, of longer standing. In reacting to Hitler's Berlin Spoetpalast speech on the initiation of German air raids on British cities, quoted above, the London Daily Herald gloated that Hitler had made, quote, a frantic effort to reassure his raid-harassed people who are in an extremely nervous condition, and stay awake even when there is no alarm, unquote. The same issue of the Herald goes on to present the recommendations of the Reverend C.W. Whipp, vicar of St. Augustine's Leicester, quote, the orders ought to be, wipe them out, and to this end I would concentrate all our science towards discovering a new and far more terrific explosive. These German devils, that is the only word one can use, come over our cities and turn their machine guns on women and children. Well, all I hope is that the RAF will grow stronger and stronger and go over and smash Germany to smithereens. A minister of the gospel, perhaps, ought not to indulge in sentiments like these. I go further, and I say quite frankly that if I could, I would wipe Germany off the map. They are an evil race and have been a curse in Europe for centuries. There can be no peace until Hitler and all those who believe in him are sent to hell, which is their place of origin and their final home, unquote. The Herald remarked that Whip, quote, has aroused considerable local controversy, unquote, so it is evident that in Britain, as in the U.S., there were many people who kept their heads despite the Fatimid types. The peculiar ad hoc philosophy of history enunciated by De Sales and promoted by Clifton Fatiman also made its apparently independent appearance in England. An article by Reginald Hargreaves in the June 1941 issue of the respected journal National Review, not to be confused with the National Review that was founded in the U.S. in 1955, proposed as a war aim, as distinct from an unavoidable consequence of the war, that, quote, at least 3 million Nazi soldiers be put permanently out of action, quote, it being, quote, an absolutely vital prerequisite to the laying down of arms, that a sufficient number of the present-day corrupted, brutalized and delirious young dervishes of Nazism should be left dead upon the field, unquote. The necessity for this arose from the consideration that, quote, throughout her whole history, Germany has shown herself as utterly uncivilized and worthy of nothing but detestation and disgust. From the very beginning, the behavior of the Teutonic peoples had qualified them for the role of pariahs, the outcast mad dogs of Europe. Our real war aim must be, not only military triumph in the field, but the reduction of the German people to such a shrunken and delimited condition, that never again will they be in such a position to start anything to the detriment of generations yet to come. Our conflict, despite mushy affirmations to the contrary, is with the German people, a race so savage, so predatory, so unscrupulous and so utterly uncivilized, that their elimination as a major power is the only hope for a world that has no choice but to take the surgeon's knife, and cut out this cankerous growth from its body politic, thoroughly, relentlessly, once and for all, unquote. Such declarations seem even more extraordinary when one considers that they came from a nation noted for understatement. The point of this discussion is not that there had grown up any consensus in the US and Britain, that all Germans are by nature monsters and should be killed or at least sterilized. Everybody would agree that no such consensus existed, and even the extermination mythologists would agree, I think, that no consensus favoring extermination of the Jews existed in Germany. Moreover, as we all realize, the genocidal policies advocated or implied by many leaders of opinion in the US and Britain were not, in their literal form, within the bounds of the possible. The American and British people would never have permitted such deeds to be done in their names. The point is that, during the heat of wartime, the most extraordinary things were said. For the most part, unfortunately, one can only say for the most part, such lunacies were not realized in events, but they were expressed nevertheless. Murderous things were said on both sides, and in my opinion and dim recollection of the times, the rhetoric in the US, especially in regard to the Japanese, seems to me to have been more violent than anything that now seems to have been current in Germany during the war, although such a comparison is difficult, and perhaps should not be attempted in regard to degree, on account of the very different roles played by quote-unquote public opinion and by the statements of political leaders in the two political systems involved. On the Axis side, one should also note that fascist Italy had various anti-Jewish laws that were however very mild in application, and certainly never approached murder. Nevertheless, the anti-Jewish rhetoric in the fascist press was at least as violent as anything generated in Germany, and assuming the New York Times, October 22, 1941, reported accurately, it even advocated that all Italian Jews be, quote, annihilated as a danger to the internal front, quote unquote, because, quote, this is the moment to do away with halfway measures, unquote.
A final point is that one must use some common sense and a feeling for the context in interpreting references to extermination and annihilation properly.
In the American Civil War, many wanted Lincoln to annihilate the South, and it is not inaccurate English to say that Lincoln did just that, but it was understood, then as now, that the killing of all Southerners was not contemplated. Naturally, the same observation may be made in connection with public declarations of Nazi leaders, but there is an additional point to be made in this connection. Very often the Jews were referred to via the German word Das Judentum, one of whose correct translations is Jewry, but which can also mean Judaism or even Jewishness or the idea of Jewishness. Thus, a Hitler reference to Die Vernichtung des Judentums, if lifted out of context and interpreted in a purely literal way, can be interpreted as meaning the killing of all Jews, but it can also be interpreted as meaning the destruction of Jewish influence and power, which is what the politician Hitler actually meant by such a remark, although it is true that he could have chosen his words more carefully. Alfred Rosenberg made specific reference to this ambiguity in his IMT testimony, where he argued that Die Ausrottung des Judentums, a term he had used on occasion, was not a reference to killing in the context in which Rosenberg had used it. The lengthy digression made necessary by Goebbels' Ausrottung remark being concluded, we return to the survey of stories in the New York Times for 1942-1943. June 14, 1942, page 1, quote, 258 Jews reported slain in Berlin for bomb plot at Anna-Red exhibit. By George Oxelson, by telephone to the New York Times Stockholm, Sweden, June 13. At the Gross Lichterfelde barracks in the western suburbs of Berlin, 258 Jews were put to death by the SS on May 28, and their families deported, in retaliation for an alleged Jewish plot to blow up the anti-Bolshevist Soviet Paradise exhibition at the Lustgarten. If there were any bombs, they evidently were discovered before they had time to explode. The SS wanted the executions to be published. Instead, leaders of the Jewish colony were called in. Observers are inclined to see a link between the Berlin executions and the massacre at Lidice, in Czechoslovakia, after the assassination of Reinhard Heydrich, unquote. June 30, 1942, page 7, quote, 1 million Jews slain by Nazis, report says. London, June 29, UP, spokesman for the World Jewish Congress charged today. They said Nazis had established a vast slaughterhouse for Jews in Eastern Europe. A report to the Congress said that Jews, deported en masse to central Poland from Germany, Austria, Czechoslovakia and the Netherlands were being shot by firing squads at the rate of 1,000 daily. Information received by the Polish government in London confirmed that the Nazis had executed several hundred thousand Jews in Poland, unquote. No such slaughterhouse where executions were by firing squad is claimed today. As noted above, this was the start of the World Jewish Congress's campaign of extermination propaganda. It is quite possible that this first story was inspired by Goebbels' then-recent Ausrottung remark. July 22, 1942, page 1, quote, Nazi punishment seen by Roosevelt. President Roosevelt declared last night in a message read to 20,000 persons at Madison Square Garden. President's message. The White House. Washington. July 17, 1942. Dear Dr. Wise. Citizens will share in the sorrow of our Jewish fellow citizens over the savagery of the Nazis against their helpless victims. The Nazis will not succeed in exterminating their victims any more than they will succeed in enslaving mankind. The American people will hold the perpetrators of these crimes to strict accountability in a day of reckoning which will surely come. Text of Churchill message. You will recall that on October 25 last, both President Roosevelt and I expressed the horror felt at Nazi butcheries and terrorism, and our resolve to place retribution for these crimes among the major purposes of this war, unquote. Such vague statements of the wartime leaders, while devoid of any specific charges, carried more weight among the public than any of the more specific stories that the leaders may have seemed, by their statements, to be endorsing. We shall see that the specific claims of the time, at least for several months, did not very much resemble the claims made at the later trials. Nevertheless, the politics of the situation, as perceived by Roosevelt and Churchill, made it opportune for them to go along, at least to the extent of making vague public statements supporting the propaganda. September 3, 1942, page 5, quote, 50,000 Jews dying in Nazi fortress. London, September 2, UP, dash 50,000 Jews from Germany and Czechoslovakia have been thrown into the fortress at Terezin, and several thousand who are ill or charged with criminal acts are in underground dungeons, where they are dying like flies, a Czech government spokesman said tonight. All hope for them has been abandoned, the spokesman said. The spokesman said the Germans had launched a campaign to exterminate Jews from the protectorate, and that of 40,000 Jews formerly in Prague, only 15,000 remain. Pilsen and Bruin have been cleared of Jews, he said, many of them being sent to Terezin, largest concentration camp in Nazi-controlled Europe. A European observer said the Germans planned to exterminate the Jews not only in Europe, but throughout the world. He declared the Nazis had executed 2 million Jews in the past 3 years, unquote. The only truth in this story lies in the fact that the death rate of Jews was rather high at Terezin, Theresienstadt, due to the German policy of sending all Reich Jews over 65 there. Another category at Theresienstadt was the quote-unquote privileged Jews, the war veterans, especially those with high decorations. There were other Jews, many of whom were eventually moved out, but if they suffered, it was not at Theresienstadt. The place was visited by the Red Cross in June 1944, and the resulting favorable report angered the World Jewish Congress. There will be more to be said about Theresienstadt in subsequent chapters. While it was not the, quote, largest concentration camp in Nazi-controlled Europe, unquote, it nevertheless plays an important role here. September 5, 1942, page 3, quote, U.S. rebukes Vichy on deporting Jews. Washington, September 4, the State Department has made the most vigorous representations possible to the French government through the American Embassy in Vichy, over the mass deportation of Jews from unoccupied France, it was announced today by the American Jewish Committee. The protest followed representations by four Jewish organizations, and the action was communicated to them in a letter by Sumner Wells, Under Secretary of State. Mr. Wells said, I have received your communication of August 27, 1942, enclosing a letter in regard to the mass deportation of Jewish refugees from unoccupied France. I am in complete agreement with the statements made concerning this tragic situation, which provides a new shock to the public opinion of the civilized world. It is deeply regretted that these measures should be taken in a country traditionally noted for adherence to the principles of equality, freedom, and tolerance. The American Embassy at Vichy has made the most vigorous representations possible to the highest authorities at Vichy. The letter of the four organizations to the Secretary of State follows. On behalf of the organizations we represent, the undersigned respectfully request our government to transmit to the government of France a solemn protest against the action taken recently by that government, to turn thousands of refugees over to the agents of the Nazi government for deportation to Poland and to other Nazi-occupied regions in Eastern Europe. Reports reaching us stating that the government of France is permitting the deportation by the Nazis of Jewish refugees who have been interned in a number of camps in the south of France. This action began about August 8, when a total of 3,600 men, women, and children were rounded up, loaded on trains, and sent off without any word regarding their destination. The reports agree that these 3,600 were the first contingent of a total of 10,000 Jewish refugees, which the French government has agreed to deport to Eastern territories. Mass deportations of Jews from Germany and from territories under German occupation have been going on ever since the conquest of Poland. In accordance with the announced policy of the Nazis to exterminate the Jews of Europe, hundreds of thousands of these innocent men, women, and children have been killed in brutal mass murders. The rest are being herded in ghettos in Eastern Europe under indescribably wretched conditions, as a result of which tens of thousands have succumbed to starvation and pestilence. We should only note at this point that even the four Jewish organizations are not completely secure in claiming exterminations, because they allow themselves an out, by referring to those being herded in ghettos. Wells's reply, while in complete agreement with the letter, avoids direct endorsement of the extermination claim. November 24, 1942, page 10, quote, Hebrew Papers Mourn. Jerusalem, November 23, UP, - The Hebrew Press appeared today with black borders around reports of mass murders of Jews in Poland. The reports, received by the Jewish Agency, asserted that systematic annihilation of the Jewish population was being carried out by a special German destruction commission. On the former frontier between German and Russian Poland, thousands were thrown into the Bug River and drowned, unquote. December 13, 1942, page 21, quote, Tardy War Report held aid to faith. Rabbi Israel Goldstein declared, authenticated reports point to 2 million Jews who have already been slain by all manner of satanic barbarism, and plans for the total extermination of all Jews, upon whom the Nazis can lay their hands. The slaughter of a third of the Jewish population in Hitler's domain and the threatened slaughter of all is a Holocaust without parallel. December 18, 1942, page 1, quote, 11 allies condemn Nazi war on Jews. Special to the New York Times Washington, December 17, a joint declaration by members of the United Nations was issued today, condemning Germany's bestial policy of cold-blooded extermination of Jews. The declaration was issued simultaneously through the State Department here, and in London. Text of declaration. From all the occupied countries, Jews are being transported in conditions of appalling horror and brutality to Eastern Europe. In Poland, which has been made the principal Nazi slaughterhouse, the ghettos established by the German invader are being systematically emptied of all Jews, except a few highly skilled workers required for war industries. None of those taken away are ever heard of again. The able-bodied are slowly worked to death in labor camps. The infirm are left to die of exposure and starvation, or are deliberately massacred in mass executions. The number of victims of these bloody cruelties is reckoned in many hundreds of thousands of entirely innocent men, women, and children. This was the beginning of the State Department involvement in the extermination legend, and that it came from such a seemingly official source, was the basis for special comment in the Times editorial of the same day. December 18, 1942, page 26, quote, Hitler's terror. Despite all that has been written about Nazi persecution of the Jews, the facts in the joint statement issued yesterday in Washington, London, and Moscow in the name of the United Nations, will come as a shock to all civilized people who have preserved a modicum of human decency. For this statement is not an outcry of the victims themselves, to which many thought it possible to close their ears, on the ground that it might be a special plea, subject to doubt. It is the official statement of their own governments, based on officially established facts. Clearly, it was believed that atrocity claims apparently coming from the State Department were more credible than claims coming from such groups as the World Jewish Congress, which is no doubt what is meant by the victims themselves. However, we have seen that Wise was also behind the joint declaration. The December 17 statement marked the start of U.S. and British government complicity in the extermination legend. The German government did not see the event as laden with import, and von Stomm of the Foreign Office's press section flippantly explained to the neutral press that the Allied declaration was for the purpose of helping the Christmas sales of the Jewish department stores of New York and London. December 20, 1942, page 23, quote, Allies describe outrages on Jews. What is happening to the 5 million Jews of German-held Europe, all of whom face extermination, is described in a statement released yesterday by the United Nations Information Office. Novel methods of mass execution by shooting and lethal gas are cited in the main body of the report, which states that this destruction of the Jews is not isolated in one country but is continent-wide. Early in December 1942, the State Department in Washington gave some figures, showing that the number of Jewish victims deported and perished since 1939 in Axis-controlled Europe now reached the appalling figure of 2 million, and that 5 million were in danger of extermination. The document concludes, the means employed in deporting from the ghetto all those who survive murders and shooting in the street exceeds all imagination. In particular, children, old people and those too weak for work are murdered. Actual data concerning the fate of the deportees is not at hand, but the news is available, irrefutable news, that places of execution have been organized at Helno and Belzec, where those who survive shootings are murdered en masse by means of electrocution and lethal gas. The alleged electrocutions at Belzec appeared a few times in the propaganda, and will be discussed again on page 197. They are one of the versions of exterminations that were quickly forgotten about after the end of the war. Nevertheless, we can see, at this point, a clear tendency of the propaganda to resemble the claims which have become the fixed features of the legend, the gas chambers and the approximate 6 million killed during the course of the war. We will have more to say a bit later on the origin of the 6 million figure. December 28, 1942, page 21, quote, demand Jews be saved. Albany, December 27, AP, Dr. Wise, President of the American Jewish Congress and the World Jewish Congress, urged formulation of an Allied program to halt the Nazi slaughter of civilians, unquote. January 8, 1943, page 8, quote, 93 choose suicide before Nazi shame. 93 Jewish girls and young Jewish women, the pupils and the teacher of a Beth Jacob School of Warsaw, Poland, chose mass suicide to escape being forced into prostitution by German soldiers, according to a letter from the teacher, made public yesterday by Rabbi Seth Jung of the Jewish Center of New York City, unquote. February 7, 1943, 6, page 16, magazine article by Sholem Ash, quote, in the Valley of Death. Gas chambers and blood poisoning stations which are established in the outlying countryside, where steam shovels prepare community graves for the victims, unquote. February 14, 1943, page 37, quote, tyranny of Nazis shown. Warsaw is being subjected to a deliberate Nazi pattern of death, disease, starvation, economic slavery and wholesale elimination of population, the Office of War Information states in a 24-page pamphlet, Tale of a City, published today, declaring that Warsaw has been the testing ground for Nazi plans of world conquest. There is no way of telling at this time exactly how many Poles have been murdered by the Nazis in Warsaw. The execution spot is now Palmyra, near Warsaw, where mass shootings occur either at dawn or during the night, unquote. February 14, 1943, page 37, quote, execution speed up scene. Mass executions of Jews in Poland on an accelerated tempo was reported by European representatives of the World Jewish Congress, in a communication made public by Rabbi Stephen S. Wise, president of the American Jewish Congress. In one place in Poland, 6,000 Jews are killed daily. According to the report, dated January 19, Jews left in Poland are now confined in 55 ghettos, some in the large towns and some in the smaller towns that have been transformed into ghettos, unquote. This was the propaganda story involved in the conflict between state and treasury. As noted in connection with the remarks on the Times editorial of December 18, if this story had managed to emerge from the State Department, greater credibility would, apparently, have been attached to it. Unfortunately for the propaganda inventors at the time, they had to settle for Rabbi Wise as ostensible source. February 16, 1943, page 7, quote, Nazis shift 30,000 Jews. Geneva, Switzerland, February 15, ONA, all the aged and feeble from Czestochowa, Poland, were sent to Rawa Ruska, in Galicia, for execution by the Nazis, sources from inside Poland said, unquote. February 23, 1943, page 23, quote, atrocities protested. 3,500 children held a solemn assembly of sorrow and protest against Nazi atrocities in Mecca Temple, 133 West 55th Street. Six refugee children related their experiences at the hands of the Nazis, unquote. March 2, 1943, pages 1, 4, quote, save doomed Jews, huge rally pleads. Immediate action by the United Nations to save as many as possible of the 5 million Jews threatened with extermination was demanded at a mass demonstration in Madison Square Garden last night. Rabbi Hertz said, appalling is the fact that those who proclaim the four freedoms have so far done very little to secure even the freedom to live for 6 million of their Jewish fellow men, by readiness to rescue those who might still escape Nazi torture and butchery. Wendell Willkie said, 2 million human beings, merely because they are Jews, have already been murdered by every fiendish means which Hitler could devise. Millions of other Jews face immediate destruction. Chaim Weizmann said, 2 million Jews have already been exterminated. The democracies have a clear duty before them. Let them negotiate with Germany through the neutral countries concerning the possible release of the Jews in the occupied countries. Let the gates of Palestine be open to all who can reach the shores of the Jewish homeland. March 7, 1943, page 30, quote, 600 Jews sent to Silesia. Stockholm, Sweden, March 6, Reuter, nearly 600 Norwegian Jews are now known to have reached Polish Upper Silesia. Most of the men have been sent to work in the mines near Katowice, unquote. March 10, 1943, page 12, quote, 40,000 here view memorial to Jews. 40,000 persons listened and watched last night to two performances of We Will Never Die, a dramatic mass memorial to the 2 million Jews killed in Europe. The narrator said, there will be no Jews left in Europe for representation when peace comes. The 4 million left to kill are being killed, according to plan. April 1, 1943, page 2, quote, French Jews sent to a Nazi oblivion. Wireless to the New York Times London, March 31, a system of death convoys under which French Jews are being rounded up and then shipped out to various points in Eastern Europe, after which they are no longer heard from, was described here today by the British section of the World Jewish Congress, which charged that the full force of the Nazi and anti-Jewish terror now was being concentrated in France. Basing its report on first-hand information supplied by a prominent French Jew who has escaped to a neutral country, the Congress declared the last convoy left France about February 20. It involved 3,000 Jews of all classes and ages, and all that was known about its eventual destination was that it was somewhere in the East. In mid-February, the Congress added, the Gestapo raided the Lyon headquarters of the General Union of French Jews, arrested the entire staff, removed them to the Drancy concentration camp and since has shipped them, too, to some extermination center on the other side of Europe, unquote. Reitlinger, page 327, tells us that, quote, less than a tenth of the Jews who were deported, from France, possessed French nationality, unquote. By his figures, that is perhaps 5,000 of the 240,000 French Jews, suggesting that maybe the 5,000 enlisted for work voluntarily, or were actually politicals or partisans. April 12, 1943, page 5, quote, Nazis erase ghettos in two Polish cities. London, April 11, AP, the Polish Telegraph Agency said tonight that the Germans had erased the ghetto at Krakow in a three-day massacre that started March 13, and also had eliminated the ghetto in Łódź. The fate of the Jews in the latter city was unknown, but the agency said it was believed they also were killed, unquote. April 20, 1943, page 11, quote, 2 million Jews murdered. London, April 19, Reuter, 2 million Jews have been wiped out since the Nazis began their march through Europe in 1939, and 5 million more are in immediate danger of execution. These figures were revealed in the 6th report on conditions in occupied territories, issued by the Interallied Information Committee. The report said, lethal gas and shooting were among the methods being used to exterminate the Jews, unquote. April 20, 1943, page 11, quote, rescue of Jews urged. The Jewish Agency for Palestine, in a memorandum addressed to the Bermuda Refugees Conference yesterday, urged that measures of rescue be launched immediately on behalf of 4 million Jews estimated to be still surviving in Nazi-occupied countries. The agency, headed by Dr. Chaim Weizmann, is recognized in the Mandate for Palestine as a body to advise and cooperate with the government of Palestine on matters affecting the establishment of the Jewish national home. The memorandum declares that, should the announced policy of the enemy continue unchecked, it is not impossible that by the time the war will have been won, the largest part of the Jewish population of Europe will have been exterminated. April 25, 1943, page 19, quote, scant hope seen for Axis victims. Special cable to the New York Times Hamilton, Bermuda, April 24, the large-scale movement of refugees is impossible under wartime conditions, and neither the United States nor Great Britain, alone or jointly, can begin to solve the refugee problem. These two concrete impressions have emerged after almost a week's discussion of the refugee problem by the American and British delegations here, unquote. because almost all Jews outside the continent, particularly those in the U.S., believed the extermination claims, they brought political pressures which resulted in the Bermuda Conference. It was believed, correctly, that the Nazis wished the emigration of the Jews from Europe, under appropriate conditions, and this put the British and American governments, on account of the propaganda basis for their war, into an awkward position, around which they were obliged to continually double-talk. We have described the conflict between state and treasury in this regard. The British had, at that point, no intention of opening Palestine, and both the British and Americans had no intention of providing the resources, in the middle of the war, for massive operations, undertaken for reasons that were valid only to the degree that their propaganda was taken seriously. No sane modern statesmen believe their own propaganda. This is the dilemma, which J. Breckinridge Long and other State Department officials felt themselves facing. Another point that should be made here before proceeding with the survey of the propaganda is, that the 6 million figure had its origin apparently in the propaganda of 1942-1943. An examination of the problem of the origin of the 6 million figure could easily lead to the conclusion, that it had its origin at the IMT, where the indictment mentioned a figure, supplied by the World Jewish Congress, of 5,721,800 quote-unquote missing Jews, and Wilhelm Hotl of the SD signed an affidavit, 2,738 PS, asserting that he had gotten a figure of 6 million from Eichmann. According to Hotl, Eichmann had visited his Budapest office in a depressed mood, because he was convinced that the war was lost, thought that the Allies would punish him as a major war criminal, and then declared, with no other witnesses present, that 4 million Jews had been killed in extermination camps, and that 2 million had met death in various other ways, mainly through executions carried out by the Einsatzgruppen in Russia. Here we offer a different theory regarding the origin of the 6 million figure. Its very first appearance seems to be Rabbi Goldstein's statement of December 13, 1942, followed by the story of December 20 to the same effect, except that it specified a potential 7 million in danger of being exterminated, rather than the 6 million implied by Goldstein's statement. However, it could correctly be argued that one must not infer the origin of the 6 million figure purely on the basis of these stories. However, the appearances of the 2 million killed, 4, or 5 million to be killed, extermination claim at the public affairs reported on March 2 and 10, 1943, must be taken much more seriously. More information about the latter affair can be extracted from an advertisement that also appeared on March 10, page 10, reporting that the show had been organized by the Committee for a Jewish Army of Stateless and Palestinian Jews, headed by Senator Johnson of Colorado. The advertisement makes the same extermination claim, 2 million killed, 4 million to be killed, and also lists the sponsors of the organization, which included many members of Congress and other notables. The same organization had also run a full-page advertisement on February 16, page 11, specifying 2 million killed and 4 million to go, and also claiming that the only Arabs who objected to massive Jewish immigration into Palestine were Nazi agents. The two stories of April 20 suggest rather widespread usage of the 2 million killed, 4, or 5 million to be killed, form of the extermination claim in early 1943. We therefore have very general usage of the 6, or 7 million figure, long before the end of the war, by the political establishment that wrote the charges at Nuremberg. Thus, I believe that we can take late 1942, early 1943 propaganda as the origin of the 6 million figure. The complete independence of that figure of any real facts whatever is reflected in Reitlinger's elaborate apologies for his belief that he can claim only 4.2 to 4.6 million Jews, almost all East European, who perished in Europe during World War II, one-third of them dying from, quote, overwork, disease, hunger and neglect, unquote. However, Reitlinger's figures are also mostly independent of any real facts, but that matter will be discussed in Chapter 7. It is not at all remarkable that after the war, somebody could be found to declare at Nuremberg that the propaganda figure was correct. Hotl, indeed, was a completely appropriate choice, because he was one of those stereotype operators, with which the world of intelligence work is plagued. Born in 1915, he entered the SD in 1938, and soon acquired a reputation for mixing official business with personal business deals. His teaming up with a Polish countess friend in a Polish land deal led to an SS investigation of his activities in 1942. The report of the investigation characterized him as, quote, dishonest, scheming, fawning, a real hoaxer, unquote, and concluded that he was not even suitable for membership in the SS, let alone a sensitive agency such as the SD. He was accordingly busted down to the ranks, but then the appointment in early 1943 of his fellow Austrian and Vienna acquaintance Kaltenbrunner to head the RSHA, seems to have reversed his fortunes, and he rose to the rank of lieutenant colonel by the end of the war, and played a responsible role in foreign intelligence work. After the war, He worked for the U.S. Army Counterintelligence Corps until 1949, in lining up ex-SS personnel to give information. It is said that he managed to make this job rather lucrative. After 1949, he immersed himself in the snake pit of Vienna Cold War politics, maintaining links with neo-Nazis, Soviet agents, and nearly everybody else. He had a particularly close relationship with one Soviet agent, Kurt Ponger, a naturalized U.S. citizen whom he had met when Ponger was employed as a translator at the IMT. In addition, a Kurt Ponger, probably the same person, was a prosecution lawyer in NMT Case 4. Hotl consequently became suspect in the Werber-Ponger espionage case of 1953, and was arrested by U.S. authorities in March in Vienna, but released a few weeks later. In the mid-50s, he published two books on his wartime experiences. In 1961, he signed a prosecution affidavit for Eichmann's trial, substantially the same as his IMT affidavits. Authors on my side have written that Hotl was an Allied agent during the war. This is not correct. The only real fact that is involved in this claim is that Hotl was in touch with Alan Dulles of the OSS in Switzerland toward the end of the war. This was a part of his duties. The RSHA was attempting to arrange a favorable conclusion of the hostilities, and Hotl was one of the persons involved in the secret contacts with the Western Allies. No doubt, during the very last weeks of the war, many of these intelligence officers started acting with their personal interests in mind, and also without doubt, Hotl would have been delighted to have been enlisted as an Allied agent at this juncture of the war, and may even have volunteered some favors to Dulles with this development in mind. However, these contacts are no more evidence that Hotl was an Allied agent than they are that Dulles was an Axis agent. Dulles is even said to have peppered his conversation with anti-Semitic remarks when he was trying to win the confidence of some German contacts. If Hotl had been an Allied agent, it would seem that he would boast about this in one of his two books, The Secret Front and Hitler's Paper Weapon, but he makes no such claim. In addition, Ian Colvin, who knows as much about these matters as anybody, wrote the introduction for The Secret Front, and makes no remarks in this connection. April 27, 1943, page 10, quote, Norwegian deportees die. Stockholm, Sweden, April 26, ONA, reports from Oslo said today that most of the Norwegian Jewish women and children deported from the country had died of starvation. Transports of deportees that left Oslo in November and February were removing them toward an ultimate destination in the Silesian mining region around Katowice, unquote. May 3, 1943, page 12, quote, Britain scored on Jews. An audience of 1,500 persons heard Pierre Van Possen assert that Palestine presented the only solution to the refugee problem. Mr. Van Possen said that Great Britain had made a hollow mockery of the refugee conference in Bermuda by excluding discussion of Palestine among the possible solutions. Britain feels that the modernization of Palestine by the Jews endangers the pillars of her empire. That is the real reason many more Jews face death, because Britain wants to keep the doors of Palestine shut to them, unquote. May 20, 1943, page 12, quote, Eden ties victory to refugee hopes. Special cable to the New York Times, London, May 19. Eden insisted that it was not fair to accuse the British government of utterly ignoring the situation. He disclosed that the War Cabinet had approved the Bermuda Conference report. WJC disappointed with Bermuda Conference. London, May 19, Reuters, the World Jewish Congress expressed deep disappointment with the results of the Bermuda Conference. The note pointed out that the way to Palestine is now also free, unquote. May 22, 1943, page 4, quote, Jews' last stand felled 1,000 Nazis. Wireless to the New York Times, London, May 21, nearly 1,000 Germans were killed or wounded in the battle in the Warsaw Ghetto in the last 2 weeks, when the Nazis undertook the final liquidation of the ghetto. More news of the anti-Jewish campaign in Poland was picked up today from SWIT, the secret Polish radio station. It said the Nazis had started liquidating the ghetto of Krakow and Stanislaw, shooting Jews wherever they were found or killing them in gas chambers, unquote. June 7, 1943, page 15, quote, Rally of Hope is held. 6,000 children participated yesterday in a rally of hope. Jewish children and their parents are tortured and put to death by a barbarous enemy, unquote. June 9, 1943, page 3, Deportations of Jews, quote. London, June 8, Reuters, no fewer than 3,500 Jews have recently been deported from Salonika, Greece, to Poland, it was stated here today. Men, women and children were herded indiscriminately into cattle trucks, which were then sealed, it was added, unquote. June 13, 1943, page 8, quote, Nazi gas killings of refugees cited. By telephone to the New York Times, Stockholm, Sweden, June 12, more than 10,000 Jews were killed since last October in the Brest-Litovsk district, according to the Swedish-language Jewish Chronicle published in Stockholm. Thousands were gassed to death in hermetically sealed barns, and others have been shot in groups of 60 in adjoining woods, the paper says. When Dr. Robert Ley, chief of the German Labour Front, recently spoke at Königsberg, Bewistock and Grodno, he said, "The Jews are the chosen race, all right, but for extermination purposes only," unquote. June 15, 1943, page 8, quote, "Nazis deport 52,000 Belgians." London, June 14, AP, "The Belgian government in exile said today that the Germans had removed nearly all 52,000 Belgian Jews to concentration camps in Germany, Poland and occupied Russia," unquote. Reitlinger reports for Belgium the same situation as in France. Among the Jews deported from Belgium, virtually none were Belgian Jews. It is worth remarking that essentially the same held for Italy and Denmark. June 21, 1943, page 2, quote, "Bermuda parley scored. A resolution condemning the inaction of the Bermuda Conference, and another calling upon President Roosevelt and Prime Minister Winston Churchill to open the doors of Palestine to refugees, were adopted unanimously yesterday by the Order of the Sons of Zion at the Hotel Pennsylvania," unquote. June 21, 1943, page 3, quote, "Romanians blamed for killing of 5,000. Bern, Switzerland, June 20, UP, Swiss newspapers said tonight that 5,000 bodies, reported by Axis propagandists to have been buried near Odessa, were those of Romanian Jews killed by the Romanian secret police. The Romanian press announced the discovery of the mass tomb on April 22, claiming the bodies were those of Romanians killed by the Russians, after the latter occupied Bessarabia and Bukovina in 1940, unquote. June 23, 1943, page 8, quote, "Netherlands Jews ousted by Nazis." London, June 22, UP, "All Jews in Amsterdam have been deported by the Germans to Poland, thus completing the removal of the entire Jewish population of the Netherlands," the Aneta news agency said today, unquote. This story is not true. Nevertheless, the majority of Dutch Jews were deported. The reasons for the great differences in policy in the Netherlands and Luxembourg, on the one hand, and in Belgium and France and other countries on the other, will be seen on page 284. It will be shown that the ultimate, as distinct from immediate destination of the Jews deported from the Netherlands, was most probably not Poland. Of the 140,000 Dutch Jews, about 100,000 were deported. June 28, 1943, page 8, "Aryanization of Jewish property," quote. London, June 27, Reuters, a German radio broadcast tonight quoted Premier Nicholas von Calais of Hungary as stating that all remaining property of Jews in Hungary would pass into Aryan hands at the end of this year. This property will be distributed among those who have distinguished themselves in the war and families with many children, it is said, unquote. June 29, 1943, page 6, quote, "Nazis execute 150 Jews." London, June 28, Netherlands news agency, "The Germans have launched mass executions of Netherlands Jews deported to Poland," it was reported tonight. 150 Jews in the village of Turk had been mowed down with machine gun fire. At Saki, 340 Netherlands Jews were machine gunned, and 100 women and children were slain near Potok. They were among the thousands of Jews who had been transported from the Netherlands to the notorious Treblinka concentration camp, unquote. It seems odd to transport people out of an extermination camp and then kill them. Whoever composed this story was evidently not only uninformed on what Treblinka was supposed to be, but also on the order of magnitude of the numbers that were supposed to be thrown around. July 21, 1943, page 13, quote, "Quick aid is asked for Europe's Jews. Immediate action to rescue the Jews of Nazi-dominated countries was demanded last night by speakers at the opening session of the Emergency Conference to Save the Jews of Europe, held at the Hotel Commodore. Representative Rogers pointed out that some 3 million of Europe's 7 million Jews already have perished, and insisted that this is a problem which cannot be solved through the exercise of vocal cords and routine protests. Certainly there are enough open spaces and unpopulated areas to accommodate 4 million tortured human beings, he said. Palestine is the logical place. It is nearer and over land instead of over water. Count Sforza voiced the hope that Jews and Arabs would be able to cooperate in the future in the building of a great Near East Federation, with Palestine as a member," unquote. August 2, 1943, page 10, quote, "16 million made refugees by Axis." Washington, August 1, "A survey of the European refugee problem, published today by the Foreign Policy Association, said that only a collective effort on the part of the great powers or an international organization could deal effectively with the situation that would follow the end of the war. On the basis of reports from the governments in exile and other informants, The report said, it was estimated that of the Jews who in 1939 inhabited European countries now held by the Axis, 2 million already have been deported or had perished from various forms of mistreatment or deliberate extermination, unquote. The Foreign Policy Association does not seem to be very secure in asserting exterminations, because it gives the impression that most of the Jews had been deported, even though by this time, other propagandists were speaking of 3 million dead Jews. August 8, 1943, page 11, quote, 2 million murders by Nazis charged. London, August 7, Polish Labor Fights, a publication issued here today, printed an account of a house maintained by the Germans at Treblinka, Poland, for the extermination of Jews. In this place alone, it is said, the Germans have killed 2 million persons. When the cells are filled, they are closed and sealed. Steam is forced through apertures, and suffocation of the victims begins. At first, cries can be heard, but these gradually subside, and after 15 minutes all is silent. The execution is over. Often a grave digger is too weak to carry two bodies, as ordered, so he ties arms or legs together, and runs to the burial ground, dragging them behind him, unquote. Of course, the post-war story was that the bodies were burned, not buried, because these millions of buried Jewish bodies simply did not exist. August 27, 1943, page 7, quote, report bears fate of 8,300,000 Jews. A 300-page survey made public yesterday by the American Jewish Congress and the World Jewish Congress. More than 3 million Jews have been destroyed by planned starvation, forced labor, deportations, pogroms and methodical murders in German-run extermination centers in Eastern Europe, since the outbreak of the war in 1939, according to the report, while 1,800,000 Jews have been saved by migration into the interior of the Soviet Union, and 180,000 have succeeded in emigrating to other countries. The survey declares that 1,700,000 Jews have been victims of organized massacres and pogroms, that 750,000 Jews perished as a result of starvation and its consequences, and that 350,000 died in the process of deportation. A table showing how the process of extermination has been carried out follows. Germany, 110,000, Poland, 1,600,000, USSR, 650,000, Lithuania, 105,000, Latvia, 65,000, Austria, 19,500, Romania, 227,500, Yugoslavia, 35,000, Greece, 18,500, Belgium, 30,000, Holland, 45,000, France, 56,000, Czechoslovakia, 64,500, Danzig, 250, Estonia, 3,000, Norway, 800, total, 3,030,050, unquote. August 27, 1943, page 7, quote, deliberate Nazi murder policy is bared by Allied official body. London, August 26, UP, the Inter-Allied Information Committee tonight accused Germany, Italy and their satellites of a deliberate program of wholesale theft, murder, torture and savagery unparalleled in world history. Poland, exhaustion, torture, illness and executions have created a life expectancy of only 9 months, from the time an individual is thrown into a concentration camp. Conditions are particularly severe at the Oświęcim camp, where 58,000 persons are believed to have perished. At least 1 million Jews have been slaughtered, starved or beaten to death in Poland during the past 3 years. In Warsaw, food rations permit only 23.4% of the calories necessary to keep a human being alive, unquote. This was one of the very few pre-1944 specific references to the Auschwitz concentration camp, although the stories of March 7 and April 27 were oblique references. The interesting thing about this reference to Auschwitz is that it is essentially correct, as shall be confirmed in the next chapter, although one cannot be confident of the accuracy of the 58,000 figure, and torture and executions should not be included as causes of the high death rate. The important point is that this story implicitly rejects the post-war extermination claims, which assert that thousands were killed at Auschwitz almost every day, starting at the latest in the summer of 1942 and continuing to the autumn of 1944. October 8, 1943, page 5, quote, all Europe purge of Jews reported. Stockholm, Sweden, October 7, well-informed circles here said today that a decree had been issued in Berlin, ordering the removal of all Jews from Europe before the end of the war. The source said that the order was issued by Adolf Hitler himself. The power behind the Nazi persecution of Danish Jews is the so-called Jew dictator, Stormtrooper Eichmann, who was born in Palestine of German immigrants and brought up there, and is known for his sadistic hatred of Jews. He engineered all the extermination action against Jews in Germany and the occupied territories, unquote. This seems to be Eichmann's debut in the propaganda and, probably, the source of the myth that he was raised in Palestine. He was born in Solingen, Germany, and raised in Linz, Austria. November 23, 1943, page 4, quote, wife of Michalacik hostage of Germans. The 43-year-old wife of Premier Stanislaw Michalacik of Poland is being held by the Germans as a hostage in the Oświęcim concentration camp, and may be facing imminent execution, the Polish Telegraph Agency reported from London yesterday. Oświęcim is the most notorious German prison in Poland, where thousands of helpless victims have been tortured to death. The names of the Germans chiefly responsible for the massacre of Polish Jews were given in a Polish statement in London. There are 10 of them, headed by Ludwig Fischer, the Nazi governor of the Warsaw area. A member of the Polish National Council said that most of the Jews in Poland had already been wiped out, unquote. November 29, 1943, page 3, quote, 50,000 Kiev Jews reported killed. By W.H. Lawrence. Kiev, Russia, October 22, delayed, Kiev authorities asserted today that the Germans had machine-gunned from 50,000 to 80,000 of Kiev's Jewish men, women and children in late September 1941, and 2 years later, when Kiev's recapture by the Red Army seemed imminent, had forced Russian prisoners of war to burn all the bodies, completely destroying all the evidence of the crime. On the basis of what we saw, it is impossible for this correspondent to judge the truth or falsity of the story told to us, unquote. December 6, 1943, page 10, quote, captive killings laid to Germans. London, December 5, UP, evidence that Russian prisoners of war were executed and cremated in German concentration camps, has been offered to the emigre Czech government by a Czech army officer, who spent several years in a German prison camp before he escaped to England. The officer's teeth had been kicked out when he was struck on the mouth, he was deaf in one ear from a blow on the head, and on his body was the scar of a swastika that he said had been carved by Germans, to whom he went for treatment of an infection. Jews were chosen at random from those in the camp and shot, he said, unquote. This completes the survey of relevant New York Times stories for the period of spring 1942 through 1943. Selectivity on my part was, of course, necessary, but I believe that an adequate picture has been given of the sort of stories that were in circulation in supposedly intelligent circles. What cannot be recaptured is the hysterical atmosphere of the time. The unusually critical reader will have noticed the rather high page number of many of the stories cited, especially those which report specific instances of mass killings. In practical politics, only page one counts, and these things seldom appeared on page one. If Roosevelt said something, it was normally printed on page one, but only because he said it, not because he said anything interesting or significant. The allegations of exterminations of Jews do not appear to have had great importance to the public during the war, if one judges from the lack of any prominence given to such stories. Another way to express it is to say that if one spends some time examining the newspapers of the time, a high degree of hostility to the Nazis is obvious, but the specific basis of the hostility is virtually impossible to distinguish. Thus, there is something of an emotional nature missing from our survey, but this is unavoidable. Two principal observations should be made in regard to the extermination propaganda. First, the legend has its origin among Zionists and, second, Auschwitz was not claimed as an extermination camp until very late in the war. We have seen that the first extermination claims were not based on one scrap of intelligence data. Zionists, principally the World Jewish Congress, merely presented their nonsense to the Allied governments, in particular to the U.S. government, demanding endorsement of their nonsense. The first reactions in Washington were to scoff at the claims but, on account of various political pressures, and only on account of those pressures and not because corroborating information had been procured from military intelligence, official Washington eventually cooperated with the extermination propaganda. To the extent of having high officials make vague public declarations in support of it, and of having propaganda agencies make more specific declarations of an obscure nature. The early propaganda had features which are retained in the legend to this day, such as the 6 million figure, and also features which were quickly forgotten, such as the soap factories, although both features were authored by the same Zionist circles. In regard to our terminology, it should be remarked that the word Zionist is not being employed here as a code word for Jewish. The evidence shows that, while the hoax is certainly a Jewish hoax, in the sense of having been invented by Jews, it is also a Zionist hoax, in the sense of having been invented by Jews who were Zionists, on behalf of Zionist ends. The Zionist character of the propaganda is quite clear. Note that, as a rule, the persons who were pressing for measures to remove Jews from Europe, under the circumstances a routine and understandable proposal, coupled such proposals with demands that such Jews be resettled in Palestine, which shows that there was much more in the minds of the Zionist propagandists than mere assistance to refugees and victims of persecution. We have also noted that Auschwitz was absent from the extermination propaganda in 1942 and 1943, although if there had been exterminations at such a prominent site, military intelligence and others would certainly have learned of it. To be sure, Auschwitz appeared in the propaganda, but the specific claims, bearing on a high death rate due to more or less normal causes, were in their essentials true, however amplified their content. There were no claims of gas chambers or exterminations. Naturally, I make the reservation that this statement is based on the fact that, after a reasonably thorough study, I have not noted Auschwitz in the 1942-1943 extermination propaganda. Treblinka, Belzec, and Helno appeared in the newspaper extermination stories, but not Auschwitz. This view is confirmed by the periodicals and books of the period that I have examined. Three periodical publications are of particular interest. The issue of Commonweal for June 4, 1943 carried an article by Jacques Maritain, which summarized what he, evidently after some investigation, believed to be the chief features of the extermination program. Auschwitz is not mentioned, although exterminations via, quote, poison gases, electrocution, mass piling into enclosed spaces where asphyxia takes place by degrees, suffocation in sealed freight cars, unquote, are mentioned, and particular reference is made to Helmno. The New Republic for August 30, 1943 was a special issue devoted to the plight of the Jews in Europe and made no reference to Auschwitz. A two-page advertisement, placed by the Jewish Labor Committee, New York, mentions only Treblinka, Belzec, and, quote, hermetically sealed cars where Jews are being poisoned, unquote. Survey graphic for April 1943 carries a two-page article by William L. Shirer. The subject is the whole range of alleged German atrocities, and thus Auschwitz, Oświęcim, is mentioned, but only in connection with an alleged high death rate of 250 Poles per day, due to, quote, executions, inhuman treatment, hunger, and epidemics, unquote. Shirer claims exterminations of Jews at Belzec. The Shirer story cites a March 7 report from the Polish government in London as the source for the statements about Auschwitz. This is the earliest reference that I know of to Auschwitz in the propaganda. The only candidate for an earlier claim that I know of appears in The Black Book of Polish Jewry, J. Epenchlock, editor, 1943. Pages 56 and 59, tell of reports in the East London Observer in early 1942, that the ashes of Jews who had been sent to Auschwitz were being returned to their relatives, contradicting post-war propaganda. However, as far as I have been able to determine, the East London Observer did not exist. The Black Book does not claim exterminations at Auschwitz but speaks of exterminations via gas mobile at Helmno, pages 115-117, in agreement with later claims, via electrocution in baths at Belzec followed by burial, page 131, not in agreement, through being left in freight cars for days near Belzec followed by burning, pages 137-138, not in agreement, via steam baths at Treblinka followed by burial, page 143, not in agreement, the diesel engine whose exhaust gases were used for killing in later versions of the story, is used for digging the graves in the Black Book. There remains one source which conveys the impression that Auschwitz appeared in the extermination propaganda early in 1943 or even earlier. This is the book, The Devil's Chemists, by Josiah Dubois, whom we have encountered as a wartime treasury official. At the NMT after the war, Dubois was the chief prosecutor in the Farben trial, and his book is his account of the trial and such other matters that he considered relevant. According to him, a message dealing with Auschwitz crossed his desk in November 1942. The message transmitted the contents of a note, a, quote, crumpled testament of despair, unquote, which had allegedly been written by a worker inmate at Auschwitz, and then passed along underground in hand-to-hand relay to Bern, quote. We worked in the huge Buna plant. There was a chain of sentry posts overlooking every 10 square meters of workers, and whoever stepped outside, was shot without warning as having attempted to escape. But attempts were made every day, even by some who tried to crawl past the sentries because they could no longer walk, unquote. The note also applied to Farbenster Mir, quote, stereotyped images of swastika and riding crop and fixed sneer, unquote, which had not characterized Termeer at any time during his life. The claimed origin and history of the note make the whole thing appear rather silly, but one should note the strong element of fact in the note. At approximately this time, many workers at Auschwitz were indeed not in a condition to work or even walk. Thus, this message was not really extermination propaganda, and we cannot be certain that it really existed, but if it did, all it suggests is that the propagandists were well aware, in late 1942, of what was happening at Auschwitz. Dubois then proceeds to misinform his reader that the two messages of January and April 1943 from Harrison to the State Department, discussed above, dealt with Auschwitz, meaning it was at Auschwitz that 6,000 were allegedly being killed every day. In reporting this, Dubois is simply passing along misinformation. His motive seems to be that, as the prosecutor in the Farben case, He was attempting to maximize the significance of Auschwitz in every respect possible, and has thus read in the record something that simply is not there. German reactions. It is of passing interest to comment on what the Germans were saying about the Allied propaganda stories. We have seen that von Stumm of the press section of the German Foreign Office ridiculed the extermination claim when it was first made by the Allied governments, but that was a rare reference on the part of the German government to any specific Allied propaganda concoction. The weekly newspaper Das Reich, published by the Goebbels Ministry, and the Völkische Beobachter, the daily newspaper of the Nazi Party, had much comment of a general sort on the Gräuelpropaganda, but there were few references to specific propaganda claims. The usual situation was one of no commentary on the Jewish extermination claim as well as on other specific propaganda claims, for example starvation and torturing of American and British POWs and the various gruesome inventions of Hollywood, such as the draining of the blood of children in occupied countries for the use of the Wehrmacht. The reason for this relative silence on specific propaganda claims was no doubt that there was no need, from the German point of view, to review its content. They had seen it all before, during World War I. Thus, the German press treatment of the Gräuelpropaganda was on a higher level, and rather than concern itself with the specific contents of the stories, it concerned itself with such questions as the nature of the political interests that were served by the propaganda, and the extent and means of Jewish influence in the Allied press, for example Das Reich for December 20, 1942.